21. Forgot the number of the show. This is the Info and Annex edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. What is the 411? Well, the 411 is hopefully going to entertain you for the next 35 some odd minutes. This and every other podcast in our series is lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that out. We're the high octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. Hopefully we got plenty of fun stuff to fill your ears and warm your Monday, because it's going to be interesting. That's what we're striving for here. We have interesting little stories about Skype and your TV, a friend who got a little bit of a makeover, Google Latitude, Baba O'Reilly, a human hamster ball, tactile concept devices, and the Arecibo space radio telescope, and as well as a ton of cool stuff about coffee, as usual. So as you can see, we're rounding out the episode quite nicely, so it's kind of fun to be where we are. No heartfelt stories, no interesting anecdotes so far this time. Hopefully we're going to get through this without any wake-ups by the boy. But this time I'm prepared. We have a wonderful baby monitoring device down in the basement, and I can tell that the kid snores just like I do, and that's going to be fantastic. All right, so in case you would like to get into contact with the Caffeination Podcast, you can do so via phone, 215-240-1319. That is a direct-to-voicemail line, so if you submit content there, it goes right to a voicemail, and we get a transcript of it. And, you know, if you want it to be used on the show, please feel free to mention that. If not, then we usually withhold all voicemails that go there right off the bat, unless you say specifically you don't mind if it's used, or if it's really good, I'll ask you. But, you know, that's a fun way to get into contact with us. Also, you can send us an email at caffeination@gmail.com, or you can go over to twitter.com/caffeination, Facebook fan pages, as per usual. Everything else is all listed, lovingly nestled, over at www.caffeination.com. But I already said that once. Hopefully you wrote it down or something. I don't even know. All right, we have a great load of cool stuff to talk to you about today here, but I wanted to tell you first a little bit about GoToMeeting. Face-to-face business meetings and looking a business associate in the eye are not going to go away, but your bottom line is doubly so. These things are incredibly important, and these days, business travel is a hassle and often a complete waste of your money, money that is better spent in other areas. With GoToMeeting, you can reduce unnecessary travel for meetings by working online, spending your time working on solutions rather than traveling to tell people about them. In short, you can do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. This service allows you to easily host training sessions or product demos right from the comfort of your workstation without breaking up your workflow. GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings, 5 or 50 or 500. That's an incredibly small price to pay for productivity. You too can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts to start your free 30-day trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have so much fun stuff, we're going to dig right on in, right up front and personal. All right, first little thing here is this is going to be an article as soon as I can whip it up, but it's kind of one of those overture things. Recently got the fun Droid, you know, same as the iPhone. It has all the interesting little applications and everything. So you have Brightkite, you have Foursquare, you have all the other stuff out there. It's fun letting people know where you are, letting people know what you're visiting and doing cool stuff like that. And that's been a rather hot topic in the news lately. So it's, you know, you have people who are saying, well, you know, basically if you're telling somebody that you're out and, you know, they know that you're not home. So if they know where home is, then they can go there and do untoward things to your house and domicile and whatever else. That is a concern, and it's also a concern because you don't want to necessarily check in everywhere you go. You don't want to necessarily do everything. So that kind of brings into stark realization that some of the other services that are out there, for instance, Google Latitude, which is able to be enabled on an Android device incredibly easily, is a way for Google and everybody else to pretty much track you. Anybody you say is your friend can be notified of where you are, and basically basically you can see a wonderful little map of, all the dots of your friends swirling around you or wherever they may be in the far-flung regions of the Google sphere, which is kind of interesting when you look at it at a very cursory level. But on the other hand, I honestly don't need my friends to know exactly where I am. If they want to know where I am or what's happening, I think the check-in system via Foursquare and a couple of those other things that's out there is actually a lot better. I'm not sure what anybody else thinks about it. I mean, I know people have started to basically move away from some of those, so the only time I ever really... I'm kind of moving towards the only time I check in is when, wouldn't it be cool if I met up with somebody? I actually met up with one of my friends at breakfast the other day, completely accidentally. He was at breakfast, had read my Facebook status that we were going to be going to IHOP, and ended up happening upon us, which was cool, and that's fine, but it's not something that I necessarily need to have happen. I don't want to have people seek me out and everything, depending on where I am. I don't need people coming home knocking on my door, come and knock on my door, whatever. But I just don't like the idea of Google Latitude knowing exactly where you are at any point in time. I love the idea that it has local search, so that if you search for something, it says, okay, what's around where this dude is? Pretty much the only person I think should know where I am at all times, or should have that capability if she ever really wanted it, would be my wife. I don't even need my own mom to know where I am at every point in time. So it's one of those things where it's like you're looking at it and you say, okay, this might be just a case of a little bit too much information. So I'm not sure what anybody else thinks of it out there. I know you can hide your status in Google Latitude and you can hide your location and everything, which I currently do. I just turned it on so I could see the local stuff in Buzz. So if I don't accept your friend request, there's a very good reason for that. It's not because I don't like you. It's not because I don't think you're cool. You're not the who's, how, and the what now. But it's all about privacy, and you have to start setting boundaries. And this is just, I think, one of the ones that I think I'm going to have to set on my own. All right, next little thing that we have up for you here is a great new website, but it's the same as the old website, but just, a little bit different looking. If you head on over to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, I would like to direct your attention to the wonderful new design and layout that Norbert Davis is currently implementing. I did happen to help Norbert with the logo for his site and a little bit of the header graphic, but everything else Norbert is working on himself. He's doing a fantastic job, and it's interesting to see sites evolve over time. So if you'd like to, and I would highly suggest you do, head on over to thetotallycooltech.com and check that out. I'm actually really enthused about his logo. I think it came out relatively well. I like the way everything looks in it. And it kind of matches up pretty good with the header. I mean, there's certain things I think I might have done a little bit differently, but I think that was all part of the process. And it's all about process when you're doing graphic design. So I'm hoping to... formally open the graphic design studio once more to new clients and everything. So if you have a website and you're looking for somebody who needs to do logo work, somebody who needs to do the entire site redesign, whatever, you might be able to hit me up relatively shortly as we kick off the new Puzzle Piece Productions. So that's going to, of course, be on over at puzzlepiecepro.com. The old layout's currently up there, the new one's being tweaked. So you can start to see some of the fun stuff that we're working on. And I think there's a couple other designs that are going to be coming out soon too. All right, next little thing that we got for you here is Skype in your TV. This is probably one of the best integration ideas I've seen so far. I've seen Twitter in your TV. I've seen, a couple other things in your TV, and I never thought that it was good because, I mean, Twitter, the reason that it works is because not everybody needs to see the Twitter stream. Not everybody needs to see all your list of followers, and the problem with a TV is that it's a communal viewing device, so that if mom and dad both have Twitter accounts and they both follow incredibly incomplete, completely different people, you don't need to have everybody's Twitter feed up there to actually enjoy the fun. I think one of the best things about communal sporting events or communal events at all is if you have a decently active Twitter following, then you can go online, and provided they have similar interests to you, you can live tweet different things, and people can follow along, comment as they need, and it's a way to have that social interaction without necessarily you know, being a at someplace social. So it's basically like the bar stool for those of us with kids. So it's like, yeah, you'd like to go to a sports bar, you'd like to watch the new USA versus Canada hockey game with a whole bunch of your buddies, but you have stuff to do, and it's better to be able to do it online. So it's kind of fun that way. But Skype is something I could really see integrating into TVs well, because, you know, aside from the whole Big Brother aspect, which we're going to get to in another article this week, a lot of heavy hitting stuff coming out. But besides the whole Big Brother aspect of it, Skype is a way to call from person to person. So if you have an account and your mom has an account or anybody else has an account, and it's all embedded in your TV and you don't need to buy anything else, this would be a fantastic implementation for Skype, because you wouldn't need for mom or grandma or anybody else to learn how to set up something on her Mac or her PC or whatever. And it would just work. And that's exactly what Skype needs. So it's going to be really interesting to see exactly what happens with this. Next little thing that we have up for you here: Batman has once again regained supremacy over Superman. Now, there's entire psychological studies done on who you identify more with. Do you identify with the everyman who's had enough of crime and who uses his wits and his intelligence to invent things to allow him to fight crime? Or do you identify more with the superhero who has innately born better than everyone else abilities that allow him to fight crime? Who do you really think is the better superhero? I mean, some people deride Batman as being just another guy, you know, in a suit, and other people deride Superman for being a genetic freak and saying that, you know, he is what no one else can aspire to be because he is completely different. He's alien, you know. So there's interesting, you know, back and forth on that sociologically, psychologically, and now monetarily as well. Apparently, only a mere 3 days ago, in 1938 edition of Action Comics number 1, the first appearance of Superman sold for $1 million. Now, just 3 days later, a 1939 edition of Detective Comics number 27 has sold for $1,075,500. That, of course, being the first appearance of Batman. So there you go. It's kind of fun. Actually, I'm kind of curious about some of the earlier comic books. Like, what exactly happened in the first 26 issues of Detective Comics? Did they know that they were going to be creating the Bat? Or, you know, it's just interesting to see what lives on and what doesn't. So for 10 cents way back in the day, you could have bought the Detective Comics number 27. So there are 26 before it. I gotta wonder what's in that, but you know, 10 cents now turns into over $1 million in cold hard. That is fantastic. So Adam West's Batman was a little bit far off, but it's kind of crazy, and people keep going back and forth on what exactly is the holy grail of comic books. But the one thing I'm pretty sure we can all agree on is the next little article: Iron Man Arc Light attaches to any shirt. It's basically the heart light that exists in the center of Iron Man's chest in a couple of the different movies and all the other different implementations out there. So you too can pretend to be Iron Man with an incredibly shoddily put together click light that's only $7.59. I've seen really good implementations of this. This thing doesn't even begin to look like the one they used in the movie. I mean, if it bore some kind of, you know, passing resemblance to it, I would give them a little bit more free rein. I'd be like, you know what, that's an interesting idea. I could see where you'd want to kind of put that into a shirt or something like that, and maybe, you know, go beyond that. I actually think there's an untapped market available for actually building shirts with that light built into it, because I think it would be kind of cool. But, you know, that's something ThinkGeek's probably going to eventually come out with, but we'll get to them in a little bit. So for $7.59, you can look like a bad representation of Iron Man. All right, next thing, or as I called him on the blog, Firen Man, faux Iron Man. The next little thing that we got up for you here is Mushroom Kingdom in your ears. I think these are incredibly stupid, but I can't look away. They're tiny earbuds that actually have a mushroom growing out of them, so they're not entirely, they look more like Smurf houses, to be honest with you, than they do the mushrooms from Mario. So, I mean, the mushrooms from Mario, they were red and white. They had a certain style to them that these things seem to deviate from. Like I said, they look more like Smurf houses. They're much more cartoonish, much more... I don't even know how you'd describe it, but they have a completely different line to them. There's just something completely and utterly different. I have no clue why you would want them, but if you do, it's only $35 or $34 roughly. So there you go. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here. Talk about a collaboration of absolutely crazy awesome stuff. Robotic Lego dinosaurs being put out there in response to crazy German evolutionary steampunk videos that are commercials. If you head on over to technobob.com, you can see a gorgeous Lego reconstruction of what was a steampunk dinosaur being put together by two people, Elise and Remy. They actually built an entire T-Rex out of Lego Technics. So they designed and built this thing from the ground up themselves. And apparently their inspiration was actually a crazy Saturn commercial. Now, I don't think it's the same Saturn company as the car company here in the U.S., but from Germany. And the weird thing at the end, I'm not sure if I'm just translating it wrong, but the tagline for Saturn at the end of the commercial, which is basically like an evolution of robots. So it starts at fish and eels and moves beyond. It's kind of like a circle of life chain reaction where it, you know, shows you a robotic bird picking up the robotic fish, a robotic dinosaur eating the robotic bird. Then it shows you a robotic saber-toothed cat, you know, attacking the dinosaur, which never happened. They were epochs apart, shall we say. And then they show you that thing becoming extinct in the Ice Age. And then they show you, you know, a bug being crushed by a robotic gorilla, which goes on to evolve into a robotic man, which morphs into a scantily clad robotic lady. And then at the end it says Saturn, wie hassen teuer. And the way that it's written out, I plugged it into Google Translate to actually, you know, make sure that my translations were correct, but it says we hate expensive. I'm not sure if maybe I'm just missing a slang, and maybe it's very hot tech. I don't even know what exactly it is, but I'm pretty sure it means that, you know, we hate expensive. But the funny thing is, the end thing in the commercial is the most expensive thing on there. So it's six of one, half a dozen of another. I just thought that the cavalcade of awesome was something that I had to pass along to all of you out there, the fine listeners of the Caffeination Podcast. Moving right along, Baba O'Reilly is an awesome song by The Who. It is the owner of probably one of the best violin solos in a rock song ever. Yes, there's a small amount of songs that actually have violin solos, but Baba O'Reilly has what would arguably be the best. Some people say that the best would actually be the Charlie Daniels Band, Devil Went Down to Georgia, but I would argue that that's probably a fiddle and not necessarily a solo as part of a performance piece. But, whatever, you know, your mileage may vary. Well, the fine folks over at Think Geek will do anything to sell gadgets, and they've actually recreated Baba O'Reilly as Timmy O'Reilly because, you know, their mascot is a plush monkey named Timmy, so it's called Timmy O'Reilly by El Hadron and the Colliders. This is a crazy collection of a bunch of different instruments that they all sell, including the new one, which is the Oma Automatone, and it's an electric instrument, so all of these things basically create different kinds of sounds and everything. So this is a little sample of what Timmy O'Reilly actually sounds like, so here you go. So there you go. That is the beginning of Automatone electronic musical instrument, all the different things that they have up there are, kind of in sync. So you can head on over there and actually check what they have. It's a gorgeous compilation, and it really kind of speaks to the original music. And it's one of those things where you kind of just sit there and you say, okay, so do you guys actually work, or do you just make awesome videos to sell crazy tech gadgets? Because, I mean, I am buying whatever it is that you're trying to sell everybody, but it's just a level of crazy that I didn't think existed. I'd love to work there. That would just be awesome. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here. How about a human hamster ball? I've seen a wooder version of these, basically inflatable plastic spheres that they threw in the middle of the water when I went on a vacation with my wife and her family down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They actually had this thing for, I think it was for $10 or for $15, you got like 10 minutes inside this giant sphere that floated on top of the water. And just like a little hamster wheel, you could run yourself around. Except for this is the human ball. Basically, you are suspended by cords on the middle of this ball, and basically through a belt or something like that, it actually grasps you. I don't even know how you would begin to get into this, but it looks insanely crazy. I like the wooder one, I think, a little bit better, but this just looks, it looks like it would be dangerous in the wrong hands. Either that, or I'm waiting for the proper TV show like Wipeout or something to utilize one of these. I think that would actually be pretty cool, but your mileage may vary, but that's just insanely strange. Next little thing that we have up for you here is something incredibly techie. How many of you out there have a digital camera? I'm pretty sure most of you are raising your hand at this point in time, if you actually would have raised your hand if I had said raise your hand if you have a digital camera. That all aside, one of the major problems with owning a digital camera is storing all of your photographs after you're done having them on your camera. I know at least with us, we have over 100 gigs of actual photos at this point in time, and this is only photos that we've had since 19... No, I don't even know. I think there's some from earlier than this, but I think we went entirely digital between the two of us, me personally, since 2002, but... So that's a lot of stuff. I have a tendency of taking pictures of stupid things, but, we also have a young kid, and we have pets and all that other stuff, so it's a veritable plethora of digital imagery which needs to be tended to. So that kind of brings up the storage problem, and we're starting to run right up against that issue now, and we need to decide something soon. But this brings along an interesting new gadget called the HyperDrive. This is a 2-in-1. It's called the HyperDrive Album. I'm sorry. It's a 4.8-inch widescreen LCD that has a resolution of 800x480, and it comes in sizes of 150, I think. I'm sorry, it's 160 and models all the way up to 640 gigs. So basically, this is a little hard drive that you could store on a shelf, put all of your photos on it, and then if you wanted to, you could actually browse through them. That is fantastic. That's insane. And the best part about this is this thing actually has support for raw images. And if you have an SLR or something like that, you understand that raw images are pretty much a space eater on your device, and in fact they're also kind of hard to handle on the back end as well. So for anywhere from $350 to $600 for the 640 gig model, I think the hard drive prices are significantly low enough that this might be something that we might have to invest in around here. So you might have to eventually get two or three of these sitting on the shelf, but figure this, we had 70 to 80 years to figure out how to archive photos before the digital camera took over from the everyday snapshots, and probably a little bit more than that, but it's going to take a little time to figure out how to handle all this data floating around. Speaking of archaic technology, floppy disk pillows prove you can be obsolete and happy from over at nerdapproved.com. They're selling a pair of fun little pillows that are basically like the old 3.5-inch floppy disks, except they're much, much bigger. They're $18 a piece, and this is just pretty cool. I think that's the same kind of ilk from the iPhone application badges and the Creative Suite badges and stuff like that. I just wanted to pass them along because I thought they were that awesome. All right, next little item, we have a tactile concept device for the blind from over at Yanko Design. I've seen a lot of different things being marketed for people with sight impairment, and I think this is probably one of the best gadgets that I've seen so far. Yes, it's only a concept, but it just seems to be a really interesting way to actually input things into a computer. The only weird thing about it is, yes, it could be a phone, it could be a whole bunch of different things, and it has, bumps and squiggles and all other kinds of stuff all over it that you can basically run your thumb across and tell where you were on the menuing system at any point in time. The funny thing is that for some reason they included a video recording capability in there, and the fine folks over at Yanko said they wonder what a blind person might actually record. I think an audio recording would probably be a little bit better and probably be a little bit less space conscious, but who knows? This is the kind of thing that people really need to start working on, because there is a definite market for something like this. You just gotta wonder where it would end up. So, alright. That is that. Next little thing, we only have a couple more, and then we'll send you out on your food and caffeinated bitway. The next thing we have up for you here is from over at ogizmo.com, how to fake being hardcore. You too can impress your fans on stage by buying a smashable guitar. Yes, that's right. These props were designed and are currently on sale in Japan for $60, so that you too can pretend to smash an expensive guitar. I've never been a fan of smashing instruments during the performance, basically because as somebody who doesn't necessarily have enough money to buy his own instrument, when somebody something like that, anyway, never seen anybody smash a saxophone on stage or anything like that. I have a saxophone. I'm only moderately practiced in using it because it's an incredibly loud instrument. I love guitars, and I eventually would one day learn to play a guitar, but I don't think I would ever smash one, no matter how big I got. There's just a certain reverential treatment that should be reserved for an instrument, a tool of your trade, if you will, and I just don't understand it. But if that's your bag, you can head on over there and check it out. These guitars are designed to be completely recyclable, so that if you'd like to smash your object of rock envy, then you too can do that. It's just sad, I think, personally. But hey, go on with your bad self. All right, the next little thing that we have up for you here, the last thing in the Geekcraft section of the Caffeination Podcast, is a wonderful little Arecibo scarf. You too can confuse even the most well-read geeks. What is in the Arecibo? Well, Arecibo Radio Telescope originally was remodeled on November 16th of 1974, and there was a single message that was beamed towards the globular star cluster of M13 some 25,000 light years away, because M13 was a large and close collection of stars that was available in the sky at the time and place of the ceremony. So basically they spent all this money reconfiguring and renovating the Arecibo radio telescope back in the day, and they decided to codify a message which looks like an incredibly bad pixelated graphic, and apparently there's supposed to be all other kinds of things that are encoded into it. And the interesting thing about stuff like this is that it's completely bunk when you really look at it. It's like, okay, if you're going to send something to a supposed alien race somewhere off in the far cosmos, this particular graphic is only able to be decoded vertically. If you try and use the system and decode it horizontally, it looks like mishmash. So if you don't have kind of like a palindrome of signals that can be decoded, left, right, front, back, this is an alien race that's working from a perspective that we've possibly never seen before. So why would you limit the effectiveness of your message? Yes, it was largely ceremonial, largely ridiculous, but it's going to take over 25,000 years for anybody to actually view it, if at all. So it's kind of fun just to think and look. And now you too can wear that very bad pixelated message on a scarf for some reason. So there you go, and here we are. That about wraps up the Geekcraft section of the Caffeination Podcast. We have a couple little things to get to, and then we're going to head you out on your way. The first thing up here is we have a wonderful review of Pete's Coffee, the Yuzuri African Blend. Now, here's the long and the short of what this is. I was sent this coffee to review, and it was a two-part review. The first thing is that basically this is the first new flavor that Pete's Coffee has had in quite some time. The second thing is that the blend that they actually are producing, called the Yuzuri blend, is only available till March 31st. This blend is a joint partnership with a company called TechnoServe that actually works to promote and fund sustainable economic development in impoverished nations. So basically, they're trying to take farmers and teach them better ways and more profitable ways of actually farming the land. In this case, it happened to be coffee. From what I can tell from their website over at technoserve.org, I think. I want to make sure I get it. Yeah. Technoserve.org. So it's TechnoServe.org. Basically, what they do is they try and teach people different ways and better ways of actually, you know, going about doing business, and specifically focused on agriculture. So no matter what they're growing, they try and help them get up to a more efficient and more sustainable way so that they can actually get a better return on their crops and hopefully be able to pull themselves out of poverty. That's an incredibly noble ideal. And I'm a sucker for that kind of thing. I'm usually very skeptical about most of the fair trade programs and other stuff that are out there, because when you really look at it, it's like, okay, by slapping this logo on your product, you're saying that yes, we care enough about third world country people that we'd like to you to buy it so that you too can support our support for them. So it's kind of like giving somebody the gift of a charity at some point, for a Christmas instead of an actual gift. So I mean, yes, it's a little bit of guilt attached to it for that, but this is just seems to be something different, because first of all, it's a limited run. It's not like they're trying to milk it for all it's worth. What it looks like here is that they're actually trying to give a little bit of, they're trying to promote TechnoServe, and they're trying to promote the wonderful work that they're doing. And by doing that, they're actually buying the coffee from these people, producing a special blend specifically for that, and it's called the Yuzuri African Blend. Now on to the taste of this. It's actually an incredibly wonderful coffee. Now, I'm pretty much a stickler for taste. If something doesn't taste right, I don't care how wonderful and well-meaning it is, it's not going to go far. I mean, I would possibly buy something like that, but you want what it is that you're producing to actually be good stuff. You know what I mean? So this is an incredibly dark and bold coffee. It's a slightly oily coating on the outside of the beans, but it doesn't actually produce an oily roast or anything, or an oily cup or anything like that. It has a mid-level of acidity. It's not too acid. It's not too neutral or bland, but it has a lot of the roast characteristic in the actual cup, which basically means that it's not burnt, but it is very dark roasted, and you can taste that it's dark roasted as opposed to the terroir, which is where the beans are actually from. It has a kind of like a background taste to the, like some dark cherries, some currants or something like that, or currants, if you actually want to do it like that, or blackberries. But, I mean, that's only on the slightest of the back end. It is an incredibly bold and strong cup, but it's really nice. It actually works well as a espresso as well. Not very, very good, but it had a nice thick crema on top of it, and it was well done. So the batch that I had was roasted in January, and it's only available until March 31st. So if you'd like to support this noble endeavor, then please head on over and do so. It's only $13.95 for a 12-ounce bag. Unfortunately, on their website, they have the same problem that so many other people out there have. You know, it's the 12-ounce versus a pound. So it's like you'll see on one side it says, "Hey, we're selling a pound of coffee," and then on the other side it says, "No, actually, it's only 12 ounces." But I don't fault that. I don't fault them for that necessarily. I fault the industry more than them. So as soon as the industry sorts this out, I'll be a lot happier of a gentleman. All right, and now if you would like to win some of this coffee, and trust me, it is incredibly, incredibly good. It's I try and be as honest as I can in the tastings, and sometimes it comes across as criticism where it shouldn't be. And I wasn't criticizing the roasting methods. I wasn't necessarily criticizing the marketing of a charity like this. What I really basically wanted to do was kind of come forth and tell you that, I support what they're doing, and I think that they're doing it incredibly well. Now, we've been gifted with 5 bags of this coffee, so we're giving out 5 12-ounce bags of this coffee. and we're going to be doing it on this Wednesday, which is March the 3rd. We're going to be doing a live drawing on the live show at live.caffeination.com at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you would like a free bag of this coffee, please email me at caffeination@gmail.com with the word free coffee in the subject of your email. If you do that, you mean, hey, if you want to put a fun little poem or something else like that in the body, that's all up to you. But, you know, anything that I can read on the air would be kind of fun to play around with. But, yeah, we're going to be pulling names from a proverbial hat once we get it all up and done and ready to go. So then I'll just send it along and you'll get your very own Yuzuri African blend. It's a wonderful little way to start the spring season up. All right, now next little thing we have up for you here. I know we've talked about this before, but I really keep going back to these again and again. These are the Yanko Design Hookmaker cups. They're basically a ceramic tile with a coffee cup or a teacup embedded in them halfway through. So on the one hand, it shows you the a little pocket, you know, basically on the inside of the cup that you can store whatever, and then on the outside it actually has a hook where the handle is so you can hang whatever you want on it. I really keep looking at these and going, man, they're fantastic. The only problem is they're $30 per tile. I would love it if it was $30 per set of three like they show on the picture. If that was, then I would be a much happier person, but I just keep going back and I think they're awesome, so I wanted to pass them along yet again. Next little item we have for you here is from over at 7gadgets.com. It's a Barcraft wine thermometer. Now, I'm not sure what makes a wine thermometer better than any other thermometer, but they do have tiny little markings on it that tell you where champagne should be served, where white wine should be served, where red wine should be served. So I guess that's what you would call a wine thermometer, but then again, if you were a connoisseur of wine, you would probably know the temperature ranges anyway. This might be a little bit of a mnemonic device to do that, but, you know, I think that's kind of cool. You get into discussions all over the place with the proper temperature for serving, you know, wines, beers, whatever it is, and this is an easy way to get around that. So if you happen to be a wine drinker and a serious one at that, then you might want to look into the wine thermometer. Thought it was kind of funny, so I want to pass it along. And the last little item that we got for you here is coffeeonpaper.com. It's an artist who does beautiful work by actually using coffee as the pigment. Now, I'm not sure how they get some of the darker tones up there, if it's, you know, they use espresso or whatever it is, but it's beautiful. From front to back, these are gorgeous portraits that use nothing but coffee and paper as the method. Now, if they were paintings on coffee filters, I think that's the only way you could get any more niche and any more crazy. But they are absolutely stunning. Some of the detail that's actually captured on some of the funnier ones are kind of astounding. They have like a coffee house scene where you see a gentleman sitting there typing at his computer, and every single piece, every single line in there is all done with coffee tinting. So I wanted to pass it along because I thought it was that awesome. And that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, and I hope that we have fulfilled your need for technology and coffee here this Monday a.m., as when this is going to be produced, or whenever you end up listening to it. I hope you enjoy it just the same. Remember, you can always comment back at caffeination@gmail.com or by heading over to the website www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that one out. All right, thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.